What's going on, real ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Joss the Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude.
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Yo, what's up, motherfuckers? It's your boy, Luis J. Gomez. Real Ass Podcast. Blah, blah, all day, bitches. Monday, April 17th, 3 days before we start celebrating Hitler's birthday. I'm kidding, Dave Smith's birthday. Dave Smith, who honestly is, a lot of people have called him the Hitler of podcasting. That's a name, a moniker that sticks. So here's the deal. Here's the dealie. We got a great show planned today. First of all, Zach Amico, international superstar, is here.
Hey, buddy.
As always. Zach, very happy to have you back on the show today.
I'm here every time.
Shut up, Zach. Also, in studio right now, on time, Mike Vecchione.
Yes! Thank you for having me on the Real Ass Podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate you. You really did the inflection of the way that the intro was.
That's good. It. There's a lot of power in this podcast. I can feel it.
There is. It really is. Here's the thing.
Fueled by kettlebells.
We embrace, like, the manliness. Why? It's almost becoming a bad thing to be proud of being a man.
I'm getting hard as you're saying it.
Yeah, it should. You should. We're fucking real ass dudes here. That's real it. That's what dudes. The Real Ass Podcast is about. We don't give a shit. Yeah. It's an open conversation about life, baby. We're not afraid to be real ass. We're not afraid to show off our guns. We're not afraid to fucking have explosions in our intro. Snakes.
Dude, I love Puerto. Every time I go on, you bring me on stage. I love saying, ladies and gentlemen, the Puerto Rican Rattles. I love saying it. It rolls off the tongue.
I know. It's called branding, Mike. Also, very happy to have on the show back again. He was not on time, and it's not a big deal. I'm not going to even hold it against him because technically, you were here. You were here before we started the show. You came up. And I was like, all right, I guess I can't be mad at him. And then he walked in, and then he walked out of the room. We started the show without him. So he was actually late, even though he was kind of on time.
I'm the sweatiest I've ever been, too.
Mike Cannon is
Thanks
here.
For having
Mike.
You want to talk about an aggressive name? He's got a warring cannon. That's a warlike name.
You know what?
Why you had him on the Real Ass Podcast?
I didn't realize how badass Mike Cannon was. That's a fucking badass name right there.
To be honest, I've never even considered that before.
Can I tell a story about Mike Cannon? Can I tell this story?
Yeah. What is it?
Is it okay. How he's I know apparently it's not- gotten gray hair since the last time I've seen him? What did you see it in his true form?
All right.
Even every time I see anybody, they're like, dude, are you all right?
What's going on with you? You're like, you know,
my he's
got
married.
A divorce at 21. It was a tough time.
Also, Mike's a little bit low, Shannon. His microphone's a little bit low. You do have a salt and pepper thing. I think it is. Yeah. It's sexy for like an older man, like George Clooney, right?
Yeah.
You look like you're playing the older version of yourself in a movie.
Oh my god!
But they don't have any like money for special effects or anything. So they just threw baby powder in your hair.
Yeah, I'm just dusty broom closet cannon.
Yeah. So what is this story about Mike Cannon that you have?
First of all, gray is if you have money, you're distinguished. If you don't, you're creepy. That's the difference between
sure that, gray. The whole side of the table is salt and pepper.
We're gray. Yeah. I'm gray too.
A lot of salt, but that's okay. But that works for you, Mike, because you have like an older exterior.
What?
Because your
I think
body
I just got real ass insulted.
No, it's not an insult. Having an older exterior is actually insult. Maybe you don't understand. You never listened to the show before. I respect old people way more than young people. So that was a compliment, Mike.
I'm glad. Am I going to be referred to as the old person
on
the podcast now?
Well, on this podcast?
Maybe we should have a real-ass push-up contest to see who the fuck is who.
Well, that's the last thing that goes. They say the power is the last thing that goes.
Somebody's going to show off their old man strength.
I'm just going to continue to get insulted. Mike Cannon. This is a real-ass story. I'm using the right terminology. It's a real-ass story. We're at Caroline's, and it's just like a Tuesday show, and Mike is hosting, and there's a rowdy bunch of, like, Wall Street assholes in the front. Mm. And Mike's doing his and they're just rowdy, and one guy leaves to the bathroom. Am I saying this right? And he walks across the stage to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And Mike, you could see Mike's still trying to hold it together and be professional because he's got to set the tone for the show. But you can see the anger in his face. And there was a couple of seconds there when I was watching his face where it was like, I could tell what he was doing in his head. He's like, what are the ramifications if I just throw this mic down and fight these motherfuckers?
It was real ass problem solving.
Yeah,
it really was. I was watching his face. There was a few seconds where he was just weighing it.
So what did you do?
I did nothing and I stewed in my
own
anger.
It's not he did nothing. He reprimanded and he pushed it down, but he insulted them verbally. But there was a couple of seconds where I thought it was going to get real.
What did the guy look like that walked across the stage?
That's a real ass story.
He was like very like powder blue button down, very
like
corporate.
A big dude?
Kind of. Like you could see the shell from when he used to play sports, but if you took off his shirt, it'd be a nightmare. But yeah, he looked like he could probably. He had also like, you know, seven big swinging dick friends sitting right
next
to him.
And he just walked straight through your set across the stage.
Just walked right up on stage, looked me in the eye, and then turned left to walk off the stage
to
go
guy,
to the bathroom.
That guy, real ass dude of the week.
That guy 2 years ago. He's got bad attitude. One might
feel he's real. He's a real ass dude. Can we get him on the podcast? I bet you.
My point is that Mike Cannon is such a nice,
no,
such a
he has
sweet,
a day job.
Such a genuine. He's such a genuinely sweet guy. Mm. He's such a sweet guy. But to watch his face change like that,
there's
you
some
know
anger
he had
simmering.
Some real ass anger.
Yeah, of course he had some real ass anger, and you should have said something. Here's the thing: at that point, you have every right to tank the show for everybody that's coming after you. Yeah. Everybody in the audience. That you can shut that fucking show down.
At the time,
I feel like you have the right to shut the fucking club down at that point. If somebody walks across the stage and a security guard isn't summoned from a fucking button in a booth, and that security guard does not tackle that person and kill them in front of you, you have the right to shut the club down.
I think Goots walked over and like pointed to Iron Man and was like, he'll handle this.
Also, you know? Goots sounds like the name of an awesome bouncer. Like, dude, we released the Goots on him. Not a tiny Jewish nebbishy wigger. I don't even know what he is. I'm not even sure what I would call him.
He's the comic book guy come to life from The Simpsons.
Yeah, he really is. Let's get some plugs out of the way real quick, Shannon. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. That's right. You fucking walk across my stage. It's closing time, bitch.
I think I was $75 away from making rent, too. So
close.
I could
lock the doors, turn the lights on. It's time to beat the shit out of these guys.
You definitely would have.
I would have. 100%. There's no way I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
Mike verbally attacked them. But I could tell he was doing the math in his head of what it would take.
And so the problem is with those guys, dude, you're not winning. They're not caring about your wit. You're like, hey, what are you, walking across the stage? Like, you're a blah, blah, blah. And they're like, shut up, you fucking homo.
Yeah. Nothing I could have said to them would ruin their day because they're economically at such a higher level than I am. Right. They felt fine.
It really does.
And you probably lose the lawsuit, too.
Yeah. Mike Vecchione, anything to plug, my friend?
No, I'm in Arizona. At the House of Comedy, May 10th through the 15th.
Yeah, this Thursday, if you're watching live, me and Mike Feeney have our first live Irish Goodbye podcast, 420, 10:30 at New York Comedy Club. Get tickets at their website and use discount code IGP for $5 tickets. On the 29th, I'll be headlining McGuire's in Bohemia, and then May 10th through 15th, I'll be at the San Antonio Improv headlining.
Oh, so. Can I plug one more thing? I'm at McGuire's this weekend in Long Island.
So if you only go once.
It's a face-off between the mics.
To be honest, Mike's probably a better show.
No, stop it. What are you doing?
No, come on.
I mean, sure, he wears the salt and pepper a little bit better than you. It's weird.
It certainly does.
If you're up in the room, you watch Mike Cannon on stage, you're like, is this guy dying like right before my very eyes? You can probably convince people that you have cancer.
Well, and I'm losing weight, so I feel like there is sort of a...
Is graying hair... Shannon, while we're doing the rest of our plugs, look up if graying hair is a symptom of any type of
disease.
Heart disease. heart disease.
I just learned that this past weekend, unless somebody was fucking with me. But yeah, they
told
me.
We'll see. Yep. We'll see. We're going to find out right now. Shannon is very good at medical stuff.
Okay.
Zach and Miko.
Twitter, Instagram, Zach is not funny. On the 25th, I'm headlining the opening night of the Meadowlands Comedy Festival, hometown, Sea Caucus, New Jersey. I'm going to be in L.A. with Lewis May 22nd.
The dreaded white comedy tour.
through, I think, the 29th. And then I got stuff coming up in Poughkeepsie, Indiana, and I got a movie coming out. So just follow me on.
All right. All right. Guys, this week I'll be in Moon Tower, the 20th to the 22nd. Yeah, so if you're listening to this on iTunes on Friday tonight, Austin, Texas, motherfuckers, come out. I got stand-up shows. I got Legion of Skanks Live. I got Comedy 101 with Bennington. It's going to be a fucking blast. Then on the Sunday, the 23rd, I'll be in Houston, Texas with the Death Squad secret show, Houston, Texas, Death Squad show, hanging out with Brian Redband and Tony Hinchcliffe and all those motherfuckers. Also, Los Angeles, California, May 22nd through the 27th. Check me out. I'll be doing a lot of podcasts and stand-up comedy shows out there and the Roast Battle. I'm going to be competing with these guys on the Roast Battle at the Comedy Store on May 23rd. So if you guys can grab tickets, it's going to be a fucking barn burner. Also, check out my brand new podcast, the Believe You Me podcast with myself and UFC middleweight champion Michael Bisping, available every Monday night at midnight on iTunes. Of course, on Gas Digital Live every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Last but not least, Skankfest. By the time this goes out, by the time the show is over, there's no way. Skankfest officially sold out. I'm just fucking calling it right now, guys. Officially sold out.
Congrats.
We have some amazing comedians who we've already announced. We have Robert Kelly, Duncan Trussell, Burt Kreischer, Artie Lang, Ron Bennington, obviously the Legion of Skanks, the Naked Rose, Zach and Miko is going to be there. Both of these motherfuckers will be at Skankfest this year. Yes. Both mics. I'm pretty sure, yeah, we can announce it right now. One of the guys that we weren't able to announce until we sold out was Jim Gaffigan, which is going to be incredible.
Oh, shit.
Who is, like, just such a fish out of water at Skankfest.
That's going to be great.
It's unbelievable. He's one of the best comics in the world and one of the first comics that I saw at a comedy club in New York City. He is a monster. So funny. So, and then we have a bunch of other comedians that we are announcing in a couple days. We have a whole list of, like, a dozen more names that are pretty fucking incredible. So if you guys want to come to Skankfest, you can't buy tickets anymore, but you can follow us on Twitter at SkankfestNYC. And we are giving out a pair of tickets every Friday for one lucky winner and a bunch of other contests and shit as well. So, good stuff. Thanks, Shannon.
That's exciting stuff, man. Yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, boys and ghouls. So, Easter. It was Easter yesterday.
Yes.
You know, we celebrated the Lord. Okay. You know, you, Mike, you were raised Catholic.
Yes.
I was raised Catholic. You're still probably Catholic.
I consider myself Catholic, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get your opinion on this, because I got into a thing with a comedian on Facebook last night into this morning. I deleted it all since, because I'm just like, I was being pretty mean, and I want to get your opinion on it. But
I would love to know what that means, considering
I got really fucking angry. Canon.
Yeah, raised Catholic.
Raised Catholic.
Yeah,
Catholic as well.
No.
What is it?
Protestant.
Isn't that the same?
But I got kicked out of CCD in like second or third grade for drawing dicks on the Jesus workbook.
Is CCD Catholic
that's
school?
Like, yeah, yeah, like,
it's catechism class that you have because you don't go to Catholic school.
Yeah.
Cataclysm class.
Yeah, catechism.
Okay, so it's like you go to it's almost like Sunday school. I went to Sunday school.
Except it was on Monday.
Yeah. It was during the week.
Oh, shit.
It was pretty much because my mom didn't want to watch all three of us.
And is that what you do to get your confirmation? Is that the classes you're taking? Okay, I didn't do that. I did my communion. Okay, body of Christ, all that shit, right?
Mm. Right.
That was it. I dipped out.
You
my faith.
You
my
missed
faith
first
was
confession
done.
After that.
No,
too
I
many carbs in Christ, bro.
It goes.
Body of Christ is a piece of broccoli. It's symbolism. It's not actually the body of Christ. What if you're on a paleo diet?
Yeah.
Right, and you want to be a devout Catholic.
It's my new business, cauliflower Christ.
Zach, this is kind of a brilliant idea. Why are we not repurposing cauliflower bread for the body of Christ? This is a smarter way to live life.
Isn't it rice, though?
Is it rice?
I think it is. It's like rice wafer.
No, it's Christ.
Oh, okay.
It's gluten-free.
Jesus rice?
It's a gluten-free option. We need a gluten-free
option. Is there a gluten-free option? I wonder if there's gluten.
But that's a good point if you're on a paleo diet. And also, what's really bad is the holy water. It's like everybody's hand is in there with the germ problem that we're having.
You're not
now.
Drinking it.
Yeah, but you're putting your hand in it.
Oh, come on, dude. You fucking grab a rail walking down the subway. I teach my son to fucking balance down the stairs. I was like, don't ever touch those.
Good core strength.
I probably 7 or 8 times in my life, I've been holding the rail walking down a New York City subway and got a booger on my finger.
Oh, yeah, that's happened to me more than
15 times.
So
what I have to do is then
times.
I have to put 2 boogers on the rail to be ahead to be ahead of life. I can't walk around letting boogers get me in life. So I think that's what's happening is other people are doing the same thing. So it's a nonstop cycle. We're all just wiping boogers on that rail because you were made angry at one time and got a booger on your finger.
But what does a booger represent?
Is the body of Christ.
Emotion?
Body of Christ.
It's symbolic.
So, wait, is there a gluten-free body of Christ option, Shannon?
No, they're made from wheat flour. Short
wheat
salt
flour.
And water.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't wheat? Some people can't eat wheat, though.
Yeah, I'm celiac, right?
Yeah, celiac, yeah.
I think I have that. I
you do have a celiac.
It's over. Thank you.
But they probably believe you're just not praying it away hard enough.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a funny thing. What if you have celiac disease? There has to be some sort of option.
Yeah, that's right. That means you're gay.
Or
you're gay. You're a secret gay.
What is the bread called?
It's supposed to be like unleavened bread. That's really what the
Is there a gluten-free body of Christ option? What'd you say?
Church wafers is what they're called.
They're called church wafers.
Can you buy these wholesale?
There's communion flour, gluten-free communion flour. Yes.
Dude, I'm going to go on a tear with just eating body of Christ. Like, literally all day long, it's like, what are you eating? Dude, body of Christ. It's like in a bag. Dude, body of Christ
but
chips.
It's not
how great were those
but can
be?
I say something here?
We should market
true.
Body of Christ 30 chips.
30-day BOC
we
diet.
Learned, yeah. We learned in a catechism class. It doesn't matter if it's just the bread. It's the blessing over the bread that turns it from the regular bread to the body of Christ. So you can eat it all day long if you want. Like, when we were being introduced, the priest was just popping them in his mouth. See, it's nothing now. It's just bread. But after you do the blessing, then it becomes
but
the body
of
Christ.
But let me ask you a question. Do you have a limitation on the amount of body of Christ you can consume once it's blessed? Because I'm a fucking pig, dude. I get stoned, and I'm just crushing just bags of body of Christ.
You'll eat all the way through the loincloth.
Question also, are they blessing it as they give it to you individually,
no.
Or do they bless it in
they
like
bless
a box?
It first. Have you ever been to Mass?
Yeah, I have. Do you think I was paying attention?
The same thing every Mass.
Do you think I was paying attention? There's a whole thing up there. I can barely keep my eyes open. So they're blessing the bread in front of you in a box.
They do the blessing. They bless it first, and he takes it, and he gives it to everybody on the altar boys and all that stuff.
Body of Christ.
Yeah. But the more important...
And then he gives it to the general public.
They get, like, the personal pizza one, right? Like, don't they have a big wafer for the higher-ups, and then they give you individual... Yeah.
They get the big one?
Right. Yeah.
That's so dope. It looked, with pepperoni and anchovies?
It looks like a Lunchable. Like, they just spray dog shit ketchup on top of it.
That's incredible. So, and you were like an altar boy. You know this whole thing. See, Mike, I went to Catholic school, and this is the thing. You have to understand.
You probably know more than me, then, if you went to Catholic school. I went to CCD.
I meant church. I didn't go to Catholic school. I went to church.
What are you even talking about?
I went to church 17 times in my life, okay?
Oh, really?
I did not pay attention to what they were doing at that point.
Two of which were your parents' funeral?
Yes. One, that was really too cold. That was not good.
Mike Cannon coming hard.
Most of the church I've been through are friends' funerals.
Yeah. And but I never knew what they were doing in that process, okay? So is there a limitation? Shannon, there has to be an answer to this. Are you allowed to eat just a bunch of body of Christ? If I'm hungry, can I say, all right, dude,
In church, are you talking about going through the line again and again?
That's what I used to do on Halloween when I was a kid. I would bring multiple masks. That's what a fat fuck I was, right? I would bring multiple shitty masks when I was like maybe 12 to 14 years old, right? And I have like 3 of them. And I would just get on the back of the line again and just get candy over and over again. I would do that at the Palisades Center Mall at the food court too.
Yeah.
I would just come with my hood up, and then I'd put it down, and I'd come back and get another fucking bourbon chicken sample, and I'd come with like one leg rolled up like it was a fucking wrapper. You gotta eat, guys.
You're wise beyond your years, man.
Yeah, these are good scams right here. These are really good scams. So, what did you do for Easter, Mike? Do you celebrate it in a Catholic way? Because you're still Catholic.
No, if I was home, I would take I would go to church with my mother. I go to church with my mother when I'm home, but I don't go. So I would take my mother to church if I was home. But I didn't go. I went to Big J's instead, which is the anti-church.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of going to church.
Body of Christ, just pork rinds.
No, it was a great, it was a fantastic meal. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, good times.
Good time.
But you, so okay.
Yeah, I went, no, I would do, if I had a family, I would do the whole, I would do the whole mass and everything.
Are you an altar boy?
No.
No.
Yeah, I can't, you know, I couldn't, with my kid, I almost feel like it's weirdly like.
Yeah, do you take him?
No way.
No, you don't do that?
Church, are you fucking crazy? No,
no
way.
It just feels like you're indoctrinating somebody.
I here's the thing. I neither of us believe in God, so
James really he hasn't had deep.
Well, he really brought me into the atheism under the atheism side. I was trying to explain. I was like, "Look, Bubba, there's a God out there." He's like, "There ain't no God. We have science. Oh, Google it, Dad." And I did, and there's no God. So now we're doing a whole thing, Dad and son. No, no, me and his mother don't believe in God. Mm. So why? I mean, it's just a very hypocritical, weird thing. For the sake of kind of like making my aunt happy, I'm going to bring him to church,
right?
Do you at least expose him to different schools of thought, or is that too young at this point?
Yeah, he's too young.
Yeah.
He's too young for that now, right?
Exposing him to schools of thought at this age, he's going to believe whatever. If I wanted to make a religion up for my son, okay, he's four. He's retarded, okay? Four-year-olds are not fucking, I mean, they're smart, as smart as a four-year-old could be. If I wanted to just tell him, James, there's a fucking donkey in the sky, and, you know, it shits out fucking, you know, when it rains, it's a donkey shitting out of its ass, and tell him, really make him believe that. Within, you know, a month, that's it. That's fucking gospel to him. You're never going to convince him. Nobody in the world is going to convince him that that's not the case. And that's kind of an example of what religion is. You have these people that you really trust telling you that you have to think this way, and you really trust them so that your parents to begin with, and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to think this way. But then they're telling you, and then if you even question it, you're going to burn for eternity in hell. A little kid, they're like, fuck that.
That's real-ass religion.
Yeah.
You have to have repercussions for straying.
Yeah, man. God is the real-ass dude of the week every week. I can't give it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm not going to.
I remember getting mad at my parents, though, when I realized that, first of all, they didn't even buy into that bullshit. Mm. And then I realized, I was like, wait, I like connected the dots at six. And I was like, this just doesn't make sense in terms of what I've taken in my life. So that's why I just started drawing dicks all over the workbook. I was like a goddamn nightmare in that class. I got kicked out before communion.
Why'd you get kicked out?
For drawing dicks.
For
on
drawing
the Jesus,
dicks.
Yeah, Jesus workbook.
On Jesus. Mm.
All over the place, yeah. Mm. It was a real bad scene.
Yeah.
Wow. Drawing dicks on Jesus?
I was. At a young age.
I mean, you can really, if you look up Jesus' loincloth and most of those things.
They probably kicked me out for being gay.
Yeah.
They just thought that this was good. what was to come.
They send you to a camp.
This,
try to get you back.
Mike Pence's day camp.
I posted on Facebook just a joke, a stupid joke about Easter. And it was basically, I wrote, Santa Claus is greater than the Easter Bunny, is greater than the Tooth Fairy, is greater than Punxsutawney Phil, is greater than Jesus. That was the thing, right? And I sometimes forget that people really believe in Jesus, and it's like a thing to them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, look, am I technically being disrespectful? Yeah. But do I really give a shit? If you're a person that would not be a fan of mine because I made a joke about Jesus,
right?
You're never, like, that's not anywhere near as far. I should even say this. You're a hypocrite because that's crazy. The shit that I say is so much worse than that, like on every platform. And then that's kind of where you draw the line because that falls into your little silly world. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I had a fucking comic, give me shit about this.
Nate Bargatze. Go ahead. You can say his name. You can say his name.
Once again,
the
I won't.
Into your life,
I
Lewis.
Won't say his name because I don't want people to
Our
fuck
Lord
with the
and
guy.
Savior, Jimmy Fallon.
This, he's like a fucking hacky comic who's been around for a while. I don't even know if you know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
You know who he is, right? Mm-hmm. So he fucking writes this long thing about, like, I guess he got offended that I made a joke about Jesus. And he was like, you know, I wish I should have fucking left it up because I deleted it now. And now I'm kind of annoyed.
Is it? Oh, he did it publicly in the comments.
He did it publicly. Yeah. It was crazy. Oh, man, I almost wish I left it up. Why did I delete
this
now?
Does he believe in Creedence Clearwater Jesus, or is he more of the...
I don't know, dude. All I know is that he got really mad. He was like, for you to think you could disrespect billions of people's beliefs without impunity. And he started, like, attacking the roast battle and saying that I suck Big J's dick and that I'm a Joe Rogan wannabe.
Wow, what a Christian.
Yeah, I know. So we go into this whole fucking thing back and forth, and I'm just kind of going, like, you're a comedian, dude. It's like, what is wrong with you? And then it all came out. He was mad at me that I didn't book him at LOL when me and Beatrice were booking LOL.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Did that come out through the thread?
Yes.
Oh my
God! It was a crazy fucking thing, dude.
Oh, wow,
crazy.
You did him a favor by deleting that. I think you should have kept it.
I know,
but I think that happens a lot in on the internet. It's like where somebody goes off about something, but that's not really why they're angry. They're angry about something else.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's like
yeah.
And by the way, if you had booked him at LOL, he would have stopped believing in God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I told him. I was like, dude, if you've seen your career, what God are you praying to? Stop. Stop right now. Whatever's happening in your fucking life, okay? Do the opposite. Because this guy's literally been doing comedy for like 30 years. Mm. Nobody knows who the fuck he is. I'm not even being an asshole here. It's like, why would you come at me about a joke? You know?
Right.
Like, it was just a very, very strange thing. I think I'm just like a dude. I don't know. People just hate me. That's
well, no,
really what it
but most
of,
what Mike was saying is correct. Most of why people are angry has very little to do with what they're actually speaking on.
Yeah.
I've learned that through therapy. Most of my fights with my wife were like over the dishes, but it was more or less me like feeling that she was my mother and I'm taking advice, you know, fucking instruction from her.
Gay.
So none of this, super gay.
Yeah, but life is painful and people like, take their personal pain and extrapolate it out on these political things because everybody's got a platform now, so they take it out on the, and it's like that's not really the problem is that you're lonely or, and I'm including myself in that. Like I find myself on social media, it's like and going through and like secretly judging people in my head. And it's like, okay, well, look at yourself. What are you doing? It's like, well, you don't have a life. I don't have a life. I'm on fucking social media. So
yeah.
Be on social media.
It's also, it's a fake thing, right? You feel like you're doing something. We do this all the time. You feel like you're working, right?
Mm.
Like if the only work that you've done is you've posted some shit to Twitter or Facebook, you haven't really worked. You know what I'm saying? We like to kind of pat ourselves in the back, like, and it, look, it's a part of the job technically. But it's like, I don't know, man. It's like one of these little fringe things on the side that you kind of just have to do, you know?
Or like Twitter, you're just doing like warm-up jokes. Like you're doing some jokes. Like, because I'll do that. We've all done that where you write a tweet and it's a joke. And you're like, okay, that's the kernel for a joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can't do it the way that it's tweeted. But it's to get you thinking about it and marinating. And then you have a bit about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of, you spend all of your time thinking funny and being in that world.
Right.
And being in that mode of, you know, your brand of comedy through these different things. So, yeah, you're right. I agree with that.
But then there's people on there who actually who take issue with your joke and then want to argue your
joke.
It's like, do you even know what I'm doing? It says at Comic Mike V on my
thing. Yeah.
You're arguing the joke?
Well, exactly. That's the point when it's a fucking comedian. That's really the problem. Like, if a person got offended by that, I go, all right, go fuck yourself. When it's a comedian that's actually going out of their way to tell you go fuck yourself, I'm offended by another comedian's joke. It's just that I started posting videos of his shitty jokes and calling out the hacky lines in them. I mean, it was really bad. Like, that's why I deleted it. I was like, I care too much for 3 o'clock in the morning right now. Like, just fucking, he's doing a joke. He's like, oh, your dick stays the same size, but your balls continue to grow. And then he drops the mic on the floor and you hear the set. He's like, that's my balls. And he's dragging him. You're like, oh, you fucking hack. Go fuck yourself. Never question my fucking joke, bitch. You crazy? Anyway. You know what? I think we feel like there's, I always felt like there was a lot
more. But don't you
more...
stop yourself going down that. I know you don't, Lewis, so I know the answer is coming. But like when you start going down that road, you feel that revenge. You feel the revenge in you. And after you go, you're like, what am I doing?
Well, that's why I deleted
what
it.
What am I doing?
I mean, I mean, just the mean shit I'm saying to this guy. Like,
no, I like you, though. Shoot first, think later.
Yeah, no, well, I also, there's something about me. I feel very, when I feel justified, I can get very mean.
Yeah.
When I work out all the math in my head and go like, oh, this person's being a fucking asshole, then I go like, all right, I'm gonna bring all my fucking wrath on you now.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, if I'm being a dick, I'll go, all right, cool, I'm a dick, fine, sure,
but,
sorry.
But have you ever brought all of your wrath and then later being like, hey, I was justified in being upset, but I probably overreacted?
No, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because here's the thing. The end result, typically, of overreacting is those people don't ever look at me again. You know what I'm saying? And I've talked about this a lot. It's a bully mentality. So when somebody bullies me, right, my reaction is to strike and keep on striking and keep on striking until they're dead.
Show
right?
them who the real bully is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you want to fucking bully me, dude? I'm going to fuck. Now I'm going to bully you, and I'm going to really cut deep, right? So that makes them question ever coming at me again. And technically, that is a net positive for me. So whereas I might be crazy or I might be mean or I might be a dick, at the same time, I'm still going like, okay, well, that person was a fucking piece of shit. And I would never go at somebody hard if they weren't trying to quote unquote bully me or come at me. You know what I'm saying?
That's how I argued when I was 15, and I thought I was like the best arguer. My dad would like get at me about schoolwork and then tell me to go like clean my room, and I'd be like, fuck
yeah,
you.
Well, your son's a faggot.
I'd just be like, fuck you, you fat failed actor.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, wow. I'm just a sociopath that just cut to the most sensitive part that
he
had.
That's crazy. He gave birth to you.
Well, he didn't. Yeah, he dropped a batch in my mom, and she did the heavy lifting.
Listen to me. Listen, your mom's not that hot.
She's way better looking than my dad.
What were you going to say, Mike?
You said that to your dad?
Yeah, a lot. We got into a fist fight, though, when I was on steroids in college, because I came home from visiting my, at the time, girlfriend at Syracuse, and I thought I figured out a place where I could go to school and play basketball, which was Ithaca, and they had promised me that if I went to 2 years of junior college, they would pay for anywhere I could go, because my dad lost all this money in the stock market. So I came home excited. I'm like, I'm going to go to Ithaca, and my dad just beating my chest and just dragging my knuckles. I'm like, blah, 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 just figured out where I want to go.
Hey, Dad, you suck at acting. I'm going to go to Ithaca.
But my dad is like, he's an animal, and at the time, I guess he was having financial problems, so he was probably sensitive to this, and I told him I wanted to go, and he's like, nope, state school only, so he gets in my face, he threw the first punch, and I just was waiting for this moment my entire life, and I crow hop fucking punched him right in the face on a
crow hop?
Dude, yeah, like,
what's a crow hop?
It's an athletic move that people in the outfield of a baseball diamond do.
Wow. To make very it, specific. To make, I had no
to
idea
make
what a crow
go
hop
me neither. So
what's a crow hop?
Can I
tell
you?
Is it a Superman punch? Is that what it is?
No, you hop with your right and bring your left over, and you throw
a hard. I think it's a
heart.
Superman punch.
Yeah,
I think it's a Superman punch.
Okay, Superman punch.
I'm going to have Shannon look up. I want you to look up a crow hop and a Superman punch.
A crow
punch.
Hop was a dance in the 50s. They let black people go.
Oh, come on.
Also known as the Jigaboo Bop.
Oh,
but I just hit him with a fucking right fist a D-ball and then ran out of the house and didn't come back
look
for four
up,
days.
Look up what a crow hop is.
Ended up getting arrested in Villanova that weekend.
So your dad got you arrested for this?
Yeah, it was his fault that I underage drank for the first time in Villanova after that.
Oh, no, so your dad just took the beating.
He's 6'2", like 265 at the time, and I hit him right in his fucking St. Bernard head, and he just like backed up a bunch, and I ran out of the house and just didn't come back for 4 days. Yeah.
That's crazy. And what happened when you came back?
It was like nothing happened. This is the Irish Catholic mentality where it's like borderline personality disorder at its finest, where you can be completely in each other's faces, frothing from the mouth, pissed at each other, and then an hour later you just pretend nothing ever happened and you move on with your life.
I kind of like that. I like the
it's pretty confusing for a child.
The suppressing of the emotion and anger.
Until you drink, then it comes out and it's like way too emotional.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and my dad is a 20-something year sober person. Yeah. But he's never gone to therapy because he's Irish Catholic and he doesn't believe in that sort of thing. He's basically a dry drunk for 25 years.
Let me see the crow hop. This is it right here.
Ichiro Suzuki has a small frame and he had one of the greatest arms in the outfield because he used his body to create momentum. So let me show you what a lot of kids think. They think this. They think on a ground ball.
Chris Scopo's trying to be.
You're going to come here, nice and big, and you're going to throw it hard. That is detrimental to a good throw. That's a loop right there. You're not
so you're doing the hop
any momentum.
With the punch.
That's going to put all the stress on your arm.
Like a true Irishman, like right Luigi. The way Luigi would jump in Mario 3.
Luigi is very Italian.
I create it. It's the same thing.
Like a true Irishman. Luigi.
Way to telegraph your shot. When he starts to skip, maybe I should duck.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
do you remember
Luigi, the way he jumped, it was almost in slow motion. His legs would run. Now pull up a Superman punch. You're literally naming a super. This is the way. If you don't know how to fight, you would describe it in baseball terms.
Yeah.
I was playing baseball with my son this morning, and I was teaching him because we've been throwing so many punches. It's so funny. Like, the mechanics of throwing, it's the same really mechanics as throwing a punch. So that's the way I was able to show him how to swing a baseball bat. I learned in the moment. I was like, oh, shit. This is how to swing a baseball bat. This is crazy.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
It was nuts. Yeah.
So you're learning baseball along with your son.
Yeah. Start ground and pounding the ground with the bat. Let's see a Superman
how
punch.
How to throw the punch. From your fight stance, you're going to lift your rear leg. As you do that, you tilt the upper body back slightly. From here, you're going to switch your weight. The upper body leans in, and the leg kicks back.
Boom.
From here, you take that small hop with the grounded leg and begin to extend that punch. Make sure you pop
it's similar.
The punch, and at the same time, you're going to kick your leg back.
Look at that.
It's a counterweight, a counterbalance.
But I was on some pretty friggin' sweet anabolics, so there was a lot of oomph behind that punch.
Yeah.
I can't believe, first of all, when people say that, forget the punching your dad. When you said that to your dad, that's kind of shocking to me.
That was also never. That was
my parents were like, if I ever argued back, they were like, you're disrespectful.
Well,
you're being disrespectful.
Would you like to hear what my dad said to me several times just to kind of like even the playing field?
You're 13 and you have gray hair. What the fuck?
At like 13, 12 or 13, he told me that the best part of me slid down the inner thigh of my mom.
Ooh.
So I was like, well.
Solid burn.
Yeah.
Wow.
So he's said
what's
similar.
What's your dad's name?
Kevin.
Kevin Cannon. Real ass dude of the week.
He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I would say where's worship to my mom. But at that point, by the time I was ready to talk to my mom that way, it was like I would try to go for the jugular, you know?
Wow.
Like really like mean shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, fucking call her a bitch and a cunt. And
it's probably why she was medicating.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't medicating.
Holy shit. I can't even imagine.
She was passed out on heroin. I was screaming bitch and cunt her face. She didn't even know, dude. I think it slipped into her head somehow. You know?
You just sound like a fuzzy voice box outside of her.
We had a pretty bad relationship toward the end, you know, and look, here's the truth. She said some pretty fucked up shit to me too, like she would like literally tell me she was like I don't love you anymore. I don't know. She was like I don't love what you've become. Like I'd turned into a werewolf overnight. Like she showed up the next morning. I'm chained to the basement walls. She's like, I can't love you anymore. You're a lichen.
I just came from the mentality. It's like, look, we're the parents. You're the fucking kid. You, out of respect, you just do what you're fucking told.
Yeah, that's crazy too.
You just do what you're told. Yeah, but now I know that. But it's like it was really. I'm realizing that now. Where it was like, that's why when I was raised, it was like you just. But it was like that for everybody. We just do whatever our coaches, parents. Like, you just did what you were told. Mm. There was none of this arguing that
I was brought
that everybody up seems to be doing, like, not now, but, like, it just, I wasn't raised that way.
Well, the problem is, look.
But as a result, it's a weakness, because getting into an argument now, it's like I'm debilitated because I don't have these backgrounds.
Well, it's not that you should respect authority. Like, my son respects authority. He understands, you know, he understands that people are put into authority for a reason. It's typically, it's for his protection. It's not because he's a second-class citizen and he's told what to do. So if I were to leave him with a swimming coach, he knows that swimming coach is there to protect him, to teach him to swim, to keep him safe. He's respecting that person for that reason. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in this blind, this person's older than you so that they know better than you. There's a lot of fucked up people in the world. And specifically when I was younger, my teachers in school were so fucking bad and mean and would say really fucked up shit. My sister was talking about this yesterday. We were driving back from Easter, and her, you know, my sister was an overweight girl in high school and middle school.
Gross.
And her middle school teacher, gym teacher, would like make her do sit-ups in front of the whole class, make the whole class wait
until
she was done doing like the sit-ups and shit like that, and like legitimately giving a girl who already
that's
has
a great way to get out of the whole period though.
Yeah.
All right, nobody do anything until she's done with 20 sit-ups. See you tomorrow, teach.
It's like a substitute rolling the TV with the VCR in front of the class. It's the same thing.
But it's like you give this girl a complex, and that was not even slightly an issue, and there was no idea of protecting the kids. There was no idea that you were kind of, you know, that you were kind of shaping these kids for the future, and now we have a lot of fucked up kids. But now, because we have information and we have technology, we know that that's not the way to parent. We know that that's not the way to teach. And now also, like, to be honest with you, you have a younger generation of people who, if you want to really educate yourself, you can learn a lot. I've learned a lot more in YouTube videos than I've ever learned in any school ever in my entire life. So it depends on what you want to do and how far you want to take it. If you want to be educated, you can fucking really, really be educated. But if you're a kid that's not into that type of learning and you're not into really educating yourself, there's no amount of authority that's going to point their finger at you and is going to make you do it that's going to turn you into that. You're only going to end up having suppressed anger and issues with authority and You know, that's how you fucking create criminals.
I think once my family started breaking apart and I saw the holes in who they were as people, like, you know, once your parents become not invincible, that's when you're kind of like, well, what the fuck am I listening to this
for? I'm reading the Steve Jobs book right now, and there's a moment in the book where he talks about his dad. There was a part, it was like a car part or whatever, and his dad, I'm probably getting it wrong, whatever the machine was, his dad was positive that, you know, this was the case and it had to work this way. And Steve Jobs was telling him, like, no, I'm telling you, this guy has it, and it's working this way. And his dad's like, no. And they walked down the block, and they went into this guy's garage, and he saw it. And his dad was like, oh, well, holy shit, look at that. And it was the first time that he saw his parents being wrong.
Right.
And it was this interesting moment in his life where he was like, oh, shit, like, my parents aren't all-knowing, you know? For me, it was like watching my mom do heroin at 2. I was like, okay, it's not all-knowing. I got to go with a different guide over here because she's not nailing her part. But it really, I mean, look, you know, I remember having that thought. I remember having a thought when I was very young that I was not smarter than my mom, but better than my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like at a very, very young age, like my mom was on welfare. I didn't know my mom was even doing drugs yet, but my mom was on welfare. And my mom was like, didn't really work very hard. And she would work these part-time jobs and on Section 8. And she smoked cigarettes in her bedroom all the time. And like, I just remember being like, yeah, that's not what I want to be.
Right.
You know?
There's nothing more sad than, like, when I was 23, I used to live in Queens, and I used to smoke cigarettes on my bed thinking, this is the life. And now looking back on it, that's the most depressing section of my life, I think.
I used to do it all the time. Me and Big J would smoke cigarettes in the bathroom at the hotel, like, just in a smoky room, just like, just a weird fucking thing, just like killing yourself. Like,
but do you think that thing with your mom, it's like, you get the thing where it's like, if she would have had a little bit of success... And, like, that drives you for more success. Once you get a little taste of it, you're like, oh, shit, I can do this and I can be better. And it gives you that confidence. But if you're completely shut down, it gives you this sense of powerlessness. And then you just, there's no rising up. It just kind of breaks you mentally.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I'm not, yes, not everybody has a sense of motivation that I have. And not everybody can kind of, like, you know, get themselves out of a fucked up situation, you know, but I still, I don't know, I hold myself to a certain standard. You know, I really do. I hold myself to a certain standard, and I kind of hold everybody else to that standard.
But it's a certain thing where it's like, you've had success, and you're like, oh, this is, it triggers something in your head where it's like, oh, this is working for me. So if I do this more, it'll be more success. And so it, one thing builds on the other. But if you don't have that taste, if you're just pushed down, finally it breaks
her
you.
Her taste
you're
was
like,
with heroin, and then she just went with that path.
Right, yeah. Heroin or smoking or your just lack of motivation. Like, there's people out there who are like not committing suicide, but they're just slowly just drinking themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. And they get it. They're like, oh, this is a wrap for me, so I might as well just enjoy it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, you're talking about of quality in people. Look, most people are, I think most people are not doing what they want to do in life.
Right.
Legitimately. They're not, they're getting up and they're going to a job that they hate. They hate their boss. You know, that's just a common occurrence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I think you end up going with safety versus taking chances. And it's, you're talking about, like, I'm that way. You know, I see one, you know, we sold one ad on Gas Digital, right? We made a phone call and we sold an ad, right? And then I started going like, oh, shit. Well, how many phone calls did we make to sell that ad? We only made 4 phone calls. Okay, well, if I can close 1 out of 4 people, you know, to sell an ad, I was like, well, let me call 40 people now. I'll sell 10 ads. Let me call 400 people. I'll sell 100 ads.
And you're the son of an addict.
Yes.
Get out of here.
But it's about kind of the belief in the intangible and kind of like saying like, oh shit, a little bit of success can lead to more success.
Right.
Not many people can do that. I think people have a really hard time doing that. You know, I think more people would rather you go, I'm going to go to school for 4 years. I'm going to get a degree. And for some reason you're like, oh, well, that's going to kind of give me this safety net and I don't have to worry about anything. We're obsessed, comedians specifically, but even successful people. I think comedians have a very similar like
comedians
makeup.
Comedians and successful people.
Well, I think comedians, even on a lower level, have a very similar like mental makeup as like, you know, very successful like CEOs, billionaires. It's all about like narcissism and kind of feeding that thing, right?
Right.
So I think that, you know, it takes a special type of person to just go, fuck it, I'm just going to go balls deep and just keep on going after it and keep. It's very crazy. Comedy is a fucking crazy thing, dude. If aliens came down and watched us talking into microphones in front of a room full of people and they're laughing, and then somebody gave us money, they'd go, what the fuck is that? Let's zap that whole I don't know what the fuck that is. We have to kill everybody involved in that. That's nuts. That's not a thing. You're not harvesting
that's the
fruit.
Best thing, man. That's the
it's
best.
Amazing.
It's amazing because it's the purest thing. The business around it is the shit that's crippling.
Of course.
Yeah.
But it's not something that, like, it's such a weird, very...
But do you think that narcissism now, because, you know, wanting to do comedy and wanting to be in the spotlight used to be kind of a special thing, but it now seems that everybody that's coming up is kind of funneling towards...
It's fake narcissism.
You think
so? It's not real. It's not that even our generation is more narcissistic. Our generation is convinced
authentically
that they're more
narcissistic.
No, here's what they do, right? They're on Facebook and they're getting all these likes. I'll give you my sister as a great example. My sister's not a narcissist. Mm. My sister's very, very insecure on a lot of levels, okay? She's really a funny chick. She's a really cool chick, okay? But she has a lot
of... Shitty at sit-ups. But.
Yeah, terrible at sit-ups, okay? Would probably be a little bit more of a narcissist if she could have nailed those sit-ups, right? But she's not a narcissist, but she's still kind of addicted to that social media likes. She's still kind of addicted to the attention that you get from it. You know, so all of these other people who had absolutely no voice at all, like I was a loudmouth. I didn't have any trouble getting attention in high school and from people. I'm a true narcissist. It was always about me. You know what I'm saying? Right. But now everybody kind of gets put into these little things and they go like, oh, it's me. But they're not even truly narcissists. They're just kind of addicted to a little bit of attention.
Attention, yeah.
They don't really want, once the attention's truly turned on, they don't want it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You watch it happen when I'm arguing with all these fucking open mic chick comics. As soon as the attention really gets turned on these girls, they go, oh, I'm shutting down. I'm not going to do a podcast for 2 weeks and I'm going to fucking hide in my room.
Right.
They don't want that shit. Believe me. We're fucking psychos. We're just looking for attention constantly.
Right.
Looking for attention, but I'm more of a private guy than you are. You're a guy who's like, you'll open your whole life up and be like, what's up? Like, I'm not that kind of a guy.
I have 10 hours of podcasting a week, Mike. I mean, Jesus Christ. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to fucking hide something? You crazy? Run out of things to talk about after Tuesday.
Do you ever envy people, though? Like, because I have friends that are genuinely happy and satisfied in their lives where they did go to college, they got a job, and now they have families, and they're completely happy kind of working for the weekend or working for that vacation.
I don't know if that's true.
Really?
Because I think everybody gets it differently. We have our own set of problems, but I have friends, and I go, they have the perfect family. But if you talk to them a little bit, there's, like,
I have one friend.
Strip away the details on everything, right? We're just human beings, and we're just trying to make money and fuck and live life, right?
Right.
All of those problems exist within those systems, right? No matter what.
Yeah.
So we're just in a different system. And it's anything. Like, I know that we get a little inside baseball-y and people get annoyed. I'm not even talking about comedy. Just relate this to your own life. You are just another fucking monkey in your system trying to fucking collect nuts and berries for whatever you fucking do, your job, right? It's the same exact thing. So the shit that's impeding him from collecting nuts and berries and getting pussy is the same shit that's impeding us, and we're reacting to it the same way, you know?
Right.
I just think we do a cooler thing to collect nuts and berries and get pussy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, we have our gripes, but then if you talk to these families that seem perfect from the outside, it's like they have their gripes, too.
Yeah, it's the same shit. It's all the same shit. And I do get envious. I think very recently I realized that I didn't want to get a writing job on a TV show. Right. I didn't really want to act. I don't really want to do any of that shit. I kind of want to do what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I want to tell jokes into microphones, and I want to talk on the radio and kind of run these businesses, write shows with my friends, you know?
Right.
And I think that, you know, for me, if it was between going and getting a day job writing at Comedy Knockout, like a 9-to-5, kind of creating jokes, you know, on a level that I don't think is really, you know, the standard that we're supposed to create, like comedically, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of churning out jokes, over and over and over again, right? We do when we write for the roast battles, right? You churn out the jokes, but think about how many of those jokes just fucking you chuck, and it's just, now imagine that's your job, this mindless thing where you're kind of, and it's not even for you. There's not even this real end result where you're getting the, you know, the attention and, you know, the fucking nuts and the pussy that you're trying, the nuts and berries and the pussy you're trying to get, you're not really getting it. You're part of this other machine and this other system.
Right.
I think I would almost rather have a regular day job than go and do that and to spend my creative juices doing that and then just work for myself. I'd rather work in construction and make $25 an hour.
If you look, you would look at it that way, but if you look at it another way, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this for a year, figure out how a TV show works, look at the system, I'm going to develop the muscle of turning out these jokes, then I'm going to go and do my own thing.
I agree. And if you're pulling from that experience, then you're using it for the right way, right? Also, there's other
because that's really how we're all writing kind of joke. You're taking your experiences, but you have to like rehash it and keep throwing the joke until what works.
It's still for you, though.
Absolutely.
And there's something about I feel like with stand up, it's this true. It's like almost like a painting that we're working on for our entire careers, right? Our act.
Yeah.
And we keep on adding new colors and it's shifting and it's changing a little bit. But this is this ultimate thing. And if there's a museum of all the comedians, this fucking painting that's on that wall is everything put together. That's you. And that's really, right. For me, in my opinion, that's the most important representation of who you are as a comedian.
Absolutely. It's the most important representation that no one, it's a museum that no one walks into.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck.
Cares about it. And it's we're all working on it so meticulously.
That's how I felt.
No one gives a shit.
I went to
about
Amsterdam
it.
And the Van Gogh Museum, I just couldn't give a fuck. I was like, dude, I gotta get mushrooms and hookers. I cannot bring myself to walk into the Anne Frank House. What a buzzkill.
That's really, the Anne Frank House is right next to the Heineken factory. So it's really like a real choice. It's like, am I going to go to the depths of my soul or I just want to see how they make beer? Yeah. Hey, beer.
Am I going to really connect with myself mentally and on a physical level, or am I going to go to the Anne Frank House?
You should have taken mushrooms and gone to the Anne Frank House.
That would have been too dark.
You really would have felt a lot.
It would have been too dark.
Yeah.
It, didn't you say you weren't like good on mushrooms? You did say that,
it's
right?
It's not that I'm not good. I think I'm great on mushrooms.
It's not that you're not great, but you don't have that introspective kind of like thing that
I do.
You do?
You got to take more.
Here's where. No, I do. I'm
from
very,
the guy who almost killed his father on steroids.
Yeah.
That's what's broken my ego since then, though. That's why I'm. That's why I didn't beat up those stockbrokers.
No, you. Every time I take mushrooms, I will end up in the corner of the room by myself with a blanket wrapped around myself, talking to my version of God. Or,
sure.
Whatever it is. And I'm bad. When I say I'm bad on mushrooms, it means that I can't. If you guys had mushrooms right now, I couldn't just start tripping with you guys right now.
Like, yeah, Lewis and I have a similar mindset where, like, if we trip, we are done for the day.
Really?
Dude, the last time I took mushrooms, I forgot how to walk.
No shit.
Yeah, I'm done.
Were you afraid, though?
No, but it's the same, like, wrapped in a blanket. I tried to walk and literally was like Lieutenant Danning around the apartment.
I have 2 hours of that. Like, I'm a huge fan of mushrooms, and it's honestly done just as much, if not more, for me than actual therapy.
Yeah.
But, like, there's an hour or two in the trip where I call it just nope. Like, where you can't socialize with me, you can't talk to me, you gotta kind of leave me alone and allow me to either, you know, shatter my world and put it back together or just kind of figure this shit out. And then after that, I'm still tripping, but there's a social element where I want to connect to everybody
else.
Yeah,
there's a leading up to it where there's a social element, and then there's a coming down element.
Yeah.
And then in the peak, I am fucking like, you know, depending, and this is what happens, right? For me, you know, the last time I tripped on mushrooms, I was at my buddy Mick's place. It was me, Dave, and Mick. I have to be with some very, very close friends, like really close people that I'm not going to get self-conscious in front of at all.
Right.
Right? Because if I feel as if people are judging me.
Yeah, I could not be around strangers.
No, not at all. People go to like parties and shit.
I've done that once. And my mantra was just, if you don't speak, you can't embarrass yourself.
Yes.
So yeah, I just kept my mouth shut the entire fucking time.
Can't do mushrooms in public. Have to be with people that I'm very close with. You know, at one point and during that whole, you know, if you guys haven't taken mushrooms.
I haven't taken them.
Well, here's the thing. And to the fans that I don't like typically telling people to take drugs.
This is
medicine. do what you want to do, right? I think it's a pretty cool fucking drug. If you're going to experiment with drugs, in my opinion, I believe that mushrooms are a drug you should try. That's the way I'll say it. If you're already experimenting with drugs and you want to try to experiment with drugs, I believe that mushrooms, there is a psychological benefit to it, whether you want to say it's spiritual or whatever, the psychological element to it. And here's what it is. You're going to come out on the other side of it. Almost everybody that's ever tripped on mushrooms, except Big J. Big J is the one who doesn't have any introspective, like, he'll just watch Howard Stern and laugh. And I'm every time
crazy.
Howard Stern says, you know, the word angry, it just appears to me. I'm like,
your universe folds in on itself.
Oh, like, Jay, how are you laughing right now? What the fuck is happening with you, psychopath? Right? But I believe that from a psychological standpoint, if you do therapy, you kind of go to these places where you really, you know, you're exploring topics, right? If you're having a conversation with your therapist, you're talking about your mom or whatever it is, right?
Right.
Just having the conversation and talking about it becomes therapeutic because you're thinking about it as opposed to suppressing it. That's why that people say that comedy or art is therapeutic, because you're thinking about these things that have affected you in your life, and through the process of creation, you're kind of exploring it, right?
Right.
So with mushrooms, almost everybody that takes them comes out of it on the other side and goes, shit, dude, I really thought about a lot of shit in my life in a way that I had never thought about it before. There's really no way to put it in words.
Well, because you kind of feel it, too.
Yeah, you're very emotional about it. You feel it. And every person when they're coming down, goes, I want to be a better person. I don't want to lie.
Yep.
I don't want to cheat. I don't want to steal. I want to make up my, I want to fix the relationships that I have with people. Right. You know, and some people get very hippy dippy about it, and it's a spiritual thing. For me, I know it's a drug, but that's a real thing. Wanting to fix yourself and thinking about the problems that you have in life while you're in an altered state, in whatever way,
yeah.
That's the purest definition of therapy. You know, when they talk about primal scream therapy, that's like literally where you're just fucking screaming and thinking about, like, you know, these repressed thoughts, and like, that's just a different form of that.
Yeah.
So if it's, you know, you're somebody who, you know, wants to get in your own head, I think it's a really, really cool way to do it. But, you know, I'd say do it with Dan Soder. You and Dan should just fucking do it one day. You know, he's a guy that I would trip mushrooms
with.
It's
done both for me, too, in the sense where, you know, it maybe allowed me to feel less cynical about spirituality, but it's definitely helped me intellectually. Mm. And also, people, the big concern is, don't you have a bad trip? Aren't you worried about a bad trip?
See, that's what I would be worried about,
But the great part about bad trips, and this is kind of how you have to look at it, is it's a positive thing, because typically it brings up something that you've been suppressing for a very long time and allows you a very clear look at something that you have not wanted to face. So it'll be fleeting. It'll be a fleeting little moment of darkness where you kind of unpack this thing, recognize what it is, and then kind of let it go. And right afterwards, you're like, wow, that was complete. It was like douching my soul a little bit.
Yeah.
And now I can kind of shift perspective onto something more positive and constructive.
And you've done meditation and therapy, yoga. I mean, I think you'd be a guy that would probably benefit from, to be honest with you. You're a guy who I remember just going on the road with Mike when we were like super young in comedy. When I was doing like guest spots, which is crazy now. Thinking about doing guest spots on the road is bananas. Who the fuck would ever do that? But I remember you would get up every morning, you would meditate.
Yeah.
Mike would literally put on like Om mantra chant music and like meditate, and he'd go sit by himself and read a newspaper and really read. This is before the internet was like a thing on our phones. So you would like take in these world events and have, and Jay would give you shit about it. I remember Big Jay was like, he's like, yeah, Mike, you know, it's just a fucking bummer. And he's like, working
doesn't
on himself.
Like that fun.
Yeah, he said Mike
hates fun.
Mike
What's
hates
wrong
fun
with Mike?
Because Mike would literally just half an hour meditating, he'd go work out, he'd go for a jog. And it was like, Jay was like, yeah, I don't know, man. He just doesn't want to smoke cigarettes in the bathroom. You know, and play video games with us. You know, I don't know what's going on with Mike. There's something wrong with him. I'm worried about Mike. That's what he said. I'm worried about Mike. He's being an adult. He's got gray hair.
Yeah. I'm older than everybody.
Oh, shit.
But still featuring.
But
I was still featuring, but I was older than everybody.
But you, it really is. I think if that's something that you know would interest you, look, dude, it's a fucking. I got to do it again. I'm gonna do it again.
Guess
the but you're the one guy who said you didn't have that. What Mike was talking about, that looking at it from a different angle.
No, I think
you're the one guy who said that. Everybody else has said the same thing, kind of like you'll get a different perspective and you'll come out of it a different person.
When did I say this? I think you're confusing me with Big J, because this is Big
J's. No, no, no.
I'm telling you, this is Big J's perspective on it. He was like, yeah, it's just fucking giggle a little. He treats it like weed.
And I'm
telling you, since I was a kid, it's like I'm talking to God. So there's no way I've ever said to you, "Ah, it's no big deal, dude."
No, it's not that you didn't say it was no big deal. You said it didn't have the. I think what's resonating with you didn't have, because Soder broke it down too, the same way.
Yeah,
but you didn't have the same thing. You said it didn't. I don't know if it's you said a negative effect. It's not that you said a negative effect.
Here's probably what I said. Okay, I've had a lot of what you would call bad trips. But Mike's actually right about that. You still come out of it wanting to be better. I just don't know if I want to go there that often.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I also think that I have a lot more fucked up thoughts than people. I hear people going to therapy, and then they're like, oh, so I was talking about the booker at this club. I'm like, how are you getting into the booker in therapy? I was like, you're not talking about like suicide and fucking like your parents and drug addicts and fucking. Like, you're at a place where you need therapy because I'm like, wow, I'm just jealous of that person.
That's why I had to quit my therapist, was because he was an NA guy. So any benefits that I brought to the table from experiencing on mushrooms, he was just like, nope. And I'm like, all right, cool. We can't even have this conversation. Can't even dive into it.
Even if just on a psychological standpoint, fuck it. If you just were to get a bottle of vodka and have a conversation with a friend,
yeah,
that is therapeutic in its own way. Right, just for, if you understand human psyche, right? I say this all the time. When people are angry or they're sad or they're crying or they're laughing, all these very natural, raw emotions that you can't control, that's always a true kind of test, is to see who somebody really is. Watch somebody when they're fucking angry and how they deal with adversity when they're fucking angry.
Yeah.
That's the person you're fucking getting. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can smile. When I'm on a first date and I, you know, hey, you show up with flowers. Like, I see
you're wearing that shirt.
Yeah, what's up? What's up? How do you feel about blacks? But, you know, you can always put those, but when you're laughing or you're sad or you're in an altered state, like you're drunk or on mushrooms or fucked up, you're getting, you know, look, I've dated alcoholics before, okay? And, you know, when they're sober, you're like, oh, no, that's not who they are. But you got to realize when they're absolutely hammered, that's actually a better insight as to who they are and who their real personality is.
At their id level, yeah. Like in terms of just all desire, all wants, that's what being drunk is. That's like your savage animal level.
That's going to happen when you're angry. That's going to happen when you're in any sort of
you've dropped all of your, what's it called?
The bullshit. Whatever.
Inhibitions.
The facades you're putting up, the things you're putting up. Right. Like once, you know, that's what we see on Facebook with everybody. We see on social media, it's like everybody has this perfect version of how they're presenting themselves.
There's digital PR.
You can edit your jokes and you could make this sound perfect. Look, I sound like a fucking genius on Facebook. Like, but I go through like 20 versions of each fucking joke.
Right.
You know, Zach, if you ever disrespect me on the show. I didn't know what he said, but
he said nothing. He didn't have to.
No. I watched Mike react to Zach's face. I don't even know what he did, but I will fucking hit you in your dumb head.
But also, Mike brought up an interesting thing that a lot of people talk about with that have not done mushrooms, but it's like both a concern and a benefit where they're like, come out a new person. And you don't come out a new person. It's not like you're going to be Mike Vecchione different. It's just a renewed version of yourself.
Well, you can see the things that you cannot see in a normal state.
Yeah.
Is that pretty much it?
Yeah, pretty much.
You look at it from a different, like if you look at it from a macro.
And a lot of it is abstract. So you're not trying to verbally intellectualize everything by fitting them into the box of the language.
Right.
It's a lot of feeling and kind of gut.
Vibration. Yeah. And that is my understanding of God.
Yes.
Now.
Same.
Not the Catholic. I mean, I respect the symbols of Catholicism. There's deep stuff in there. But that's really more my thought about God.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
A vibrational level. A higher level of vibration.
My new business. Body of Christ mushrooms.
Have you done acid before?
No, I haven't. But I am a... I've been talking about this for a while, but I'm supposed to do DMT soon. But my podcast co-host keeps fucking flying to like Bali to do, you know, energy retreats. So I haven't had the opportunity. But
I don't like acid as much. Acid feels more manufactured.
Synthetic. Yeah.
Like it feels like, oh, this like mushrooms almost feel to me feels like an extension of weed.
Yes, same.
It feels
and I don't like
weed
disassociated drugs.
Two.
I don't like drugs
acid,
that make
when
me
you
forget
take it,
I'm on them.
Feels like, oh, this was made in a lab.
Right.
I think that also part of that is you knowing that mushrooms are growing from the earth and you're just mentally like there, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that acid feels, because yeah, I agree. When I do acid, it becomes much more like almost like mathematical. Like I really get into like numbers, right?
Yeah.
I really get into like
I've
breaking
heard mechanical.
Things down.
That's
it. Yeah, and yeah. I, it's almost like I start to like, I mean, dude, one time I did so much acid. I mean, I saw, I wish you could fucking put this into words. There's no words to describe. Tripping in that alternative state of mind, there's no words to describe it. There's no way to get it. There's no movie that's ever nailed what it's like. Shanna, look up the look up a list of movies and scenes. I'm sure
Jacob's
it exists.
Ladder.
The Spirit Molecule, the DMT documentary, that's kind of close in the artwork.
Well,
sense,
I'm talking
about
just
about
in terms of visually being able to capture what tripping is like.
Right.
Look up see scenes that have scenes in movies that have tried to show what tripping is like. I think that there's
they have cartoon unicorns and bullshit like that.
It's
like
never
it,
that.
It looks like a Lisa Frank folder. And
yeah,
not an
you're never
experience.
There's never little goblins running around. I feel like the kids who were saying that were always like making it up.
Yeah.
All those kids were going like, oh yeah, there's a little goblin right there. It's like that's not what's happening. Okay,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I almost feel like I wish there was somebody that really tried to visually create it as like a you know in like a movie because there's just no words to describe it.
It's
but,
like everything's always changing when you're like everything's. Things can be multiple things at once. Like everything's kind of morphing, and it's all happening in real time.
Everything's moving, and you start to connect with the idea that this microphone is weirdly connected with colors.
Right.
They're one and the same. You know what I'm saying? But it all fucking makes sense. It sounds so hippy dippy and stupid, but I remember, dude. I broke it down to when I was on acid. I took like 7 hits of liquid acid. I broke it down to everything in the world was equal to the number 0. And it made, I'm talking about the sense that this fucking made to me, I was going to kill myself. Because I literally said, I was like, death is the same as the number zero, life is the same as the number zero.
Right.
I'm like ranting. I went to a cop car and I was like, I'm on acid. My friend also took like 10 hits of liquid acid. He just disappeared. And I was like, oh, Dan's dead, number zero. It's okay. It's okay. We're alive. I'm going to see Dan in life and in death. And this, you know, this cup of coffee is a number zero. But it's, I mean, losing it. Losing my mind, okay? If you would have ran into me that night, and a bunch of people from like high school did, it was like right after I graduated high school.
Shit. That's great to take it and go to your high school reunion.
Well, people would do shit like that, and I'm like, how are you taking acid in public? That was, I think, the last time I ever truly did like real deal LSD, and it was like a scary thing. And you understand why people. The reason I didn't kill myself is because within 5 seconds, if I had come up with the plan to kill myself. Within 5 seconds, I was already on the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, I have to kill myself. Let me get a knife. Okay, cool. And then I'd be looking at the knife, and then I'd be looking at my reflection, and then I'd be like, I'd be in another thing.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And it lasted a full 24 hours.
That's intense.
Tripping.
Man.
I'm talking about, I went to sleep, woke up, tripping fucking balls. One of the scariest things ever.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, when I talk about being like a scary thing and not really a positive experience. You can't be a lunatic 18-year-old fucking, like, you know, go out into the world and do shit like that. But if you and Dan did a half an eighth of mushrooms each, I think you would actually see, like, therapeutic benefits from it. I really do.
Outdoors is really fantastic, too. The last trip I did was at my bachelor party, and it was on an island in Lake George, and we were at the widest part of the lake. So we saw the water, the mountain, the sky. It was, like, the best ever.
They were at Dave and Buster's. He was really fucked up.
I was playing Buck Hunter. But then before that, I was on it like a little more than an eighth of mushrooms in Prospect Park with my buddies, and they were just kind of losing their minds on the ground, and I was playing catch with this kid for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most spiritual.
Was it a kid, or were you just throwing rocks at a cop car?
It was a kid, but I was probably throwing a dead cat at this kid for like 2 hours. But yeah, it was amazing. It was just one of those things where I was like also projecting myself as a child and then reliving those experiences and trying to just re-put together my brain. It was fantastic.
Yeah, man. I want to talk about this really quick because this guy emailed me, and I thought it was a great little email that he sent me, and I wanted to read it. It inspired me to start talking shit to people on social media, which I love to do. And I'm not going to – he said, thank you. This is an email from Jason Knight. That's the guy's name. And he said, thank you for that blank, blank thread. And that's the name of a female comic that I shall remain nameless. Yeah, I can't stand the WAB, poor me bullshit coming off as an assailant. I'm a single dad, no government benefits, no child support, no family. The reason why I'm able to continue improving my position is because as a straight white man, I've never been permitted to complain. While they waste time naming their discriminations, I have to work nonstop the last 10 years. I'm a newspaper guy and was once written up for sexual harassment because I had a rousy armbaring Tate back in Strikeforce as my screensaver. I was written up by an orange-haired beast with a Chippendales calendar on her computer tower. Just wanted to say thanks for having the balls that I can't afford to have right now. Maybe I shouldn't have said his name. No, I asked him if I could say his name. Because he hit me up with that, and I was like, wow, dude, that's actually a really fucking great point that I haven't really thought of. And I started talking about this on social media, but it's like, you know, people want to like, you know, I don't deny that white privilege exists.
Yeah, okay? Yeah.
It's a real thing. You
I
know?
Think it is. Too.
I'm just saying that I don't count that as a factor. I don't consider that in my life when I'm trying to live my life, right? So I'm not going like, oh, wow, white privilege exists. Like, oh, that's woe is me. Like, I don't have an opportunity that Mike Cannon's now afforded to him. And I don't spend any time focusing on that. And I feel as if you spend time focusing on that, you're missing other opportunities all around you. There's one opportunity that you're losing, right? Maybe I'm losing an opportunity because I don't have white privilege. But then there's all these other opportunities that I could be taking advantage of because I'm motivated, right? Just being motivated. Yeah. Just having a positive attitude. Just that alone. The amount of opportunities that creates, in my opinion, is way more valuable than the opportunities that I'm losing because I'm not afforded white privilege. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just kind of an attitude to look at it. And, you know, this all comes off the heels of these chick comedians that I was arguing with last week. And that's what this is, you know, about. And I get a lot of people that hit me up and go, ah, dude, thanks for fucking saying that, dude. Nobody's really saying this shit. And I'm going like, why aren't you guys just having the balls? And then I'm realizing that every time that they're white guys, And you guys, I feel bad for you because you are just labeled a racist. If you ever have anything to say, it's the old, oh, well, they could have a BET. Why can't I have a WET? You know, you know, you just can't get away with it. And I
How do you know the byline of my website?
I know. But it's like a thing that I, you know, I'm watching my white friends have to deal with. And I have a lot of white friends who aren't privileged, who, you know, didn't grow up rich, who didn't have opportunities just naturally afforded to them because of the color of their skin. And you guys kind of have to just take it, you know, and then you wonder why you have people getting fucking Proud Boy tattoos and joining the alt-right. And you wonder why Donald Trump's in office. It's because they're sitting there and just suppressing it. And they're having to write secret emails between each other. And then those secret emails start to sound a little racist. Right. This is what it is. They're all the guys behind the scenes going like, yeah, dude, thank God you said something, man. These fucking chicks, man, they're assholes. Like, yeah, white guys are the problem, right? Right, yeah, but it's these blacks in Chicago. And then you're like,
they were
shit.
Actually talking about chinks. Lewis can't read.
But those secret messages behind closed doors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's the seeds of all of these fucking groups. You know what I'm saying? And it happens. All of us do that. Every male comic does it, right? Some dumb fucking twit female comic posts some shit, right? And then we all send each other messages. Right. And they do the same shit to us. The females
are
doing the same thing.
Lewis has been saying twit a lot lately, and I know it's because he wants to say twat and is trying to fix his language.
Yeah, you can't. No, I can say twat. I like twit. Twit, twit is a combination of like a, it's like a dumb twat, because a twat doesn't have to be dumb.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I found the word dippy to be lovely and dismissive. Like, you fucking dippy.
Dippy broad.
Yeah, or
like
dippy
broad.
Dippy dude. Like, it could go for.
I
both.
Think it has less to do with groups and more with we get caught up in just siding with your tribe with
right.
your group, but it really has to do with like, especially in comedy, it's like who's. No, this is a part of it. Who's worked and paid their dues into developing their skill?
Sure.
Like me coming up, like I saw women, black women, white women, and all of us coming up. So when those people get stuff, I'm like, okay, well deserved.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, yeah.
they spent time and years
yeah.
tweaking and crafting their skill in the gutter like the rest of us. You know what I mean? But if a chick just comes on the scene and is like, well, white men are getting all these. It's like, yeah, who are you?
Right.
You didn't pay your dues the way these other people did.
Well,
and not even some people are more talented than I get it.
Yeah.
But like in terms of like developing your, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah,
and developing your skill, because after all this superficial shit, it's like what's underneath it.
Well, Mike, I think
matters.
Also another thing, it's a timing thing, because back in the day, right, you started doing comedy
before
as
all
I
this,
did
yeah.
before social media even exploded, right? So what happened is the people that you knew in comedy, right, even if they weren't that good, you were just seeing them in the clubs. Like you were every couple of weeks you see somebody in the club and this guy would be like, ah, what's going on? You kind of felt like you were in it together, right?
Right.
Now you see everybody. We see thousands of comics, right? So in a weird way, I almost feel like the younger comics feel like they're kind of in it with the older guys. And
yeah.
all the older guys are like, well, you're not fucking in it. Are
yeah.
you crazy? Just because we're Facebook friends, you think that we have this sort of kinship?
Right.
So the relationships are very, very different than they used to be. You know,
right.
And you're right about the tribe mentality. For me, typically, I look at myself as being part of this comedian tribe. You know what I'm saying? It's not a
right.
man tribe. It's not a woman tribe. It's not a brown
right.
person tribe or a white person tribe. So I have this kind of romantic overview of comedy, like we're all in it together. And if somebody's been doing it even for a couple of years, that they kind of have some sort of understanding and kinship with me who's been doing it for a lot longer, right? And,
right.
you know, same thing with Louis. I feel like I have a kinship with Louis C.K. because
right.
he kind of, not many people are getting this silly fucking stupid thing that we're doing. You know what I'm
right,
saying? It's
right.
kind of a silly thing
right.
telling jokes. So, and to give ourselves to it wholly and completely, like it's a,
right.
it's kind of a weird thing, you know?
Well, and
the
I think
problem is females, it's really females. They are female first. And then they go like, oh, then we're part of this comedy community. You know what I'm saying? Their tribe is I'm a female. Or a lot, not all of them, but a lot of them that are the ones that are complaining, typically the ones that are complaining about what they're not getting, they are part of the female tribe and they're not part of the comedian tribe.
Well, and Mike is right in the sense that it's a lot of young comics in the sense that they're coming from another industry where white privilege seems to kind of matter more. Do you know what I mean? In comedy, there's a set number of industry spots. So if there is a majority of white male comics, if that's the numbers, that means then we're fighting to be original against other white male
yeah.
comedians. That doesn't mean that we have an easier time getting things. That actually is a little more difficult.
It's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But look at you. You'd be just raked over the coals. And I, for I, that statement right there, Shannon, I want you to pull out that quote, and I want you to send it to the female Facebook.
Please
groups.
Do, but I mean that, you know, it doesn't matter because I'm not using that as an excuse. I'm using that as motivation to then do two podcasts. I'm using that to try to get on the road, and now I'm going to try to put out my own album. Like, I'm using that as like, well, I need to circumvent the system because, you know, it's I have not been tapped.
It's just another another factor you can't control.
Yeah,
you can't fucking. When I used to sell street team tickets, when I used to train my guys, okay. I would always tell him, it's like, you can't control the weather. It's fucking raining. It's a card you can't play. Sorry. What are you gonna do? You're gonna shut down. You're gonna lie down and go to sleep because it's fucking raining. That's that. You're not a fucking what are they? The American Indians that control the weather. What do they call them?
Rain dancers.
You're not a rain dancer. You're a rain dancer. Maybe you can make this fucking rain.
Those
away.
Guys that dance and make the rain.
Can they make rain go away? The rain dancers.
I don't know.
I feel like that's also a more valuable thing. Like, you're hanging out, and it's like, yeah, get the rain dancer out of here, dude. I don't want to fucking hang out at the beach today. All right, I'm not gonna talk about this Facebook shooter. I guess we're gonna save that for Wednesday.
No, I like the conversation we're having about stand-up, because it's really a thing. It's like I tend to side with the guys and women who came up the way that I came up.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like MMA. MMA, you know, you support the fighters, but I tend to support the fighters who have a wrestling background. That's what I'll go for first.
Sure.
Those guys who have like a folk style wrestling background and came up, like if they were a college All American, like I'll root for them versus a jiu-jitsu.
Mike's saying
guy.
He likes the white fighters,
yeah.
by the way.
There's a lot of black fighters who come through. But it's like that's the same thing in stand up. It's like, so you get like a Yamanika who gets a half
grinding.
Hour. Dude, she grinded and fucking paid her dues.
She fought for it.
And fought for it.
Nobody
so
wanted to give it to her. You're
no,
right. But
nobody
I think
wanted to get so I'm gonna root for she's my friend. Also, but I'm going to root for her
more. It's just
built
in comedy. It's so funny because...
And somebody who comes in on a niche, and I'm not shitting on somebody who comes in on a niche thing. Good for them. They built off something else.
Yeah,
but
take your opportunity.
I'm going to throw my weight behind Yamanika, who
comedy,
came up through
she
the
doesn't
grind.
Need any more weight being thrown behind her. There's something about comedy being a blue-collar sport to begin with.
Right.
So just the 95% of the comedians that are successful that we know... grinded and hustled for it. It wasn't given to them. It's a very small percentage of people that are just like, hey, here's the easy path. Very few. Right. Even somebody like Nate Bargatze, who I would say didn't have a hard career like me, right? Didn't, you know, he was given a lot of opportunities, but you gotta understand how much Nate has hustled for those opportunities. Right. It's not like he wasn't given anything. From people's perspectives, they go, oh shit, Nate's had a fucking easy path. No, Nate works. One of the hardest workers that I know,
right.
period. You know what I'm saying? So,
and also, it looks, in retrospect, it looks like because of what he's getting now.
Yes.
But I remember when he couldn't get past at any clubs.
Nothing.
In the city. He was working the Broadway at the Aaron Haber's room, not even actual
that's
Broadway.
I was
working
standing
the
up
side
tickets.
Room.
Yeah.
And that was his, that's where he was getting his spots.
Yeah.
He was blocked out of every. They were just, he just wasn't getting into the clubs.
And just,
as a result, he threw his hands up. He's like, I'm going to go to LA.
Yeah.
But that was a real thing. He could not get into clubs.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think that because of that blue-collar type of attitude, we all naturally kind of have this thing when, you know, you see a comic that's working hard for it, you know, it's been doing it over a decade, and they finally get something. Everyone kind of goes, yeah, dude, fuck yeah. Let's celebrate that person, you know? And I think that it's just a little bit lost. I think it's a little bit lost on the younger generation in general. Forget comedians, just the younger generation in general. Ideas are shared too easily. The experience that we're kind of putting out there and the picture that we're painting of ourselves, it seems easier. Like you get these guys that on Facebook, you're going like, how is this guy fucking getting everything? And they're not really. Because just like we all do, you're not hearing the fucking argument that I just got in with my manager or about how, you know, the 30 fucking meetings that I've taken in the past 2 years that have literally gotten me nothing. Literally gotten me nothing. People are like, oh, shit, this guy got fucking Moon Tower. What the fuck, man? Right. This guy's just like, dude, do you know how many no's I got before I got Moon Tower? Do you have any idea? Do you have any concept? And they're not really, we do these podcasts, so I think we're a little bit more honest about what we're going through and what we're doing. But, you know, on these little tiny platforms like Twitter and Facebook, we all look like we're killing it. Everyone seems like they're fucking murdering it. And guess what? Nobody is. Everyone's poor. Everyone's struggling with their rent. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on. Everyone's got relationship issues. Everyone's in therapy. Nobody even understands the political or social issues that they're screaming about so much on social media.
Yeah.
The truth is we're all fucking lost, and not many of us are truly leaders. So let's do some questions real quick, Shannon, because we got to get out of here somewhat soon.
Give me a fucking answer. Give a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. Give me a fucking answer. I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
Oh, nice. So, you know what's up? Question of the day. Just go to facebook.com/LewisJGomezComedy. And, yeah, what we will do is we'll always try to pick the best questions. If you guys want to know anything about our lives, advice, any of that shit, we will try to get to your questions on the show every single week. Great show today so far, boys. Thank you very much for fucking Thanks being for a part of this. Great conversation. Also, make sure you guys go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review, all that shit. Come on, motherfuckers. You know what's up.
Real ass review.
Real ass reviews.
Wrong.
So, let's go with Woodrow Wilson. Wants to know for Mike.
Yeah.
Let's see, which Mike is this? Which Youngstown Mike. That's you. Who in Youngstown, Ohio has the best Italian food aside from your mom and or grandmother? I'm in the area and get tired of hot dogs sometimes.
Oh, shit. I don't know. It's like a banquet place, but Antone's used to have it. Antone's.
All right. Good answer.
I thought it was going to be this deep philosophical thing. We just came out of this.
Yeah.
I've just dropped acid in Youngstown. Where can I get a job in a steel mill? They're actually closed. Well, no. In my mind, they're open.
Hey, Mike. I've been tripping on DMT for 30 hours straight. Just one quick question. Why? What? All right, let's go. Would you rather be, this is Jerry Lally, would you rather be framed for running a successful children's sex trafficking ring, die in prison eventually, or you draw the Prophet Muhammad into the cover of your popular hour special and receive death threats for the rest of your life? Oh, that's not even a question, Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, you draw the fucking Prophet Muhammad.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
Draw the Prophet Muhammad.
I was going to say the kid sex ring, because at least I'd be a success.
Die in prison? But you'll die in prison.
That's fine.
Okay. Hey, what are you going to do? What are you going
to
do?
Die after a while? Like, die of old age in prison? Or am I getting beaten to death?
I think you're going to eventually die
but
in prison.
But what's the ramification of the Muhammad thing? You just have a successful...
You're getting death threats.
Oh. Well,
you have a popular hour special. Who cares?
A popular
I get death threats now, and I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing to anybody to ever hurt anybody ever. And I get death threats probably monthly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's scary.
I don't take him that seriously.
Do you respond to them? Do you threaten them back?
It's all on his Facebook wall.
No, sometimes. I mean, not real. They're not real death threats. They're, you know, it'll be like, you know, I hope Luis J. Gomez dies. I hope he kills his kid while fucking him to death. And, you know, it's really fucked up, horrible
wow.
shit.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
It's all right, though. They're creative. Some of these fans are creative. I look at fans and foes as the same, really. It's just energy.
Are you tripping now?
So, you know,
they're all equal to zero.
It's just light and darkness. They're one and the same, bro. Maybe you don't get it, Mike. You've never tripped. Let's see. Mitchell White says, I have a large full beard. For the sake of balance, should I also have a full bush?
No, I think to keep people guessing, he should be bare.
Bare.
No, I like that. Yeah. I like full beard, full,
do you guys
full bush.
Do you shave your bushes?
I trim.
Yes.
You shave it all the way down, Mike?
Yeah.
Like, you have no hair down there?
No, it'll grow back, and then I'll just, every time I cut my hair, then I'll just shave it, so it's
What do you
similar.
Shave it with? Like,
No, I have a small clippers.
So they're like,
little baby clippers.
Like head clippers. So you don't shave, you're not hairless, you don't like a little baby boy, you just get it down close.
Yeah, I get down close.
Yeah.
I'm like, go high and tight.
It looks like my penis is in the military.
I'm a number one faded into the belly button for sure.
Yeah. I do like the little fucking like lightning bolts on the side.
No, but do you shave it down?
I do the same thing. I actually use the same head clipper. I have head clippers and I use them on my pubes too. Yeah. So what I'll do is I shave my head and then I have to put. I made the mistake one time of not putting the guard, because I don't use a guard on my head. I just go straight through, right? And I didn't put a guard, and I just literally just nicked, like, it looked like an axe chopped into the side of my dick. It just took out there's still a scar. There's like, it took a hunk out of my dick.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's horrific.
And that's just, and then
that piece grew a new dick.
That piece grew a new Lewis.
That's what I said.
You cunt. Yeah, and what happens is if you ever cut your dick, I don't know about you guys, I'm like a hypochondriac. So even if I know, I knew that I nicked my dick with my clippers. I knew for a fact that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But 2 days later, you're smoking a lot of pot, and you're like, dude, that's herpes. I know that's herpes.
Oh, you know, that's an actual.
I convince myself that it's herpes.
That's an actual thing where if you cut your dick and then you have sex, it's like guys who shave are more likely to get HPV for that reason. Like
because
they nick themselves.
Their pussy juice gets into their bloodline.
Yeah. They nick themselves and then.
Mike, I'm not worried about getting HPV at this point.
Intravenous pussy
I'm
juice.
I'm 35 years old. If I don't have HPV at this point.
You're a failure.
I'm a loser. I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. It's not, it doesn't even matter. I feel like HPV is that disease that they really fucked up sex for us for a little. Once again, information moving too quickly, okay? I think we've got a handle on it. HPV isn't even a real thing.
Well, for us, for women.
No, it's not even a real thing for women.
They might get a milky pap smear.
I know, but here's the thing. I almost feel like that's life. They're almost going like, oh, you have HPV, but it's like, no. You're just living life. This is what they're finding out. Everybody has it. So my doctor told me, because I had an anal wart, okay? My doctor told me I don't know. I was like, I had never been fucked in my ass. I told my doctor flat out. I was like, I've never been fucked in my ass.
Was that how wet she got? It dribbled down, hit a nick.
It was a he. Oh, no, the doctor.
Hit a nick in your
balloon. No, but what he told me, I was like, dude, why do I have a wart in my ass? Okay, I think it was a wart. It went away, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, yeah, it was most likely a wart. Because I was like, I had a bump and it's gone. Is it a thing? And he was like, no, it's most likely a wart. I was like, well, how did I have a wart in my ass? And he was like, well, what happens is you have to wash your hands before you shit or piss. Because you're touching things all over New York City. You're shaking hands with people. And those cells are on your hands. And then you touch your dick or your asshole. And that's why HPV is so widespread. It's not even so much the sex. It's just that we're constantly touching stuff. And then we're touching our genitals. So we're spreading it like wildfire because we're not washing our hands enough. What I believe that HPV is, it's just fucking, you know, literally Shannon's got it. You've got it. Like, everyone has it, right? It's not even the 80%. I believe that it's everybody has it. And it's how your body deals with it. It's right. Like if you're going to get cancer, you're going to get like whatever cells.
Right.
It's like people get warts in their hands. If you shake hands with somebody, you've just transferred those cells. Some people get warts in their hands. Some people don't. Ugh. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to fucking wrist my dick out of my jeans every time I have to piss now.
But it's fine, dude.
It's fine. It's just a battle wound.
It's just ones and zeros, bro. Your dick is the same as a wart. It's not even you know.
So if you like shit your pants, you can be like, that's how I respond to HPV. Sorry. Had nothing to do with the burritos that I ate.
All right. Jeffrey Amato, have you dumped that stinker of a show? Shame on yet. Time to trim the fat. We wish them the best of luck. I'll say we had creative differences and that we're no longer going to be working with them. That's what I'll say. Shannon, tear their picture off the wall, please. I really mean it. So tear the fucking picture off the wall right now. It's cool. No, tear the picture off the wall. I don't know why I'm looking at them.
Now, instead of doing that, because it's going to crimp, you just put a line.
Shane, it doesn't matter. We're not doing anything with it. You could burn it. Okay. Yeah, they're good people. Good luck to them. I hope they continue to do the show. I really do. Kay Vazzi wants to know, how real was the argument with Robert Kelly on the YKWD podcast? Great show, by the way. Shannon, can you pull that up? The moment? It's about at the hour mark. It's a little bit before that.
I'm just about to listen.
Oh, yeah. Me and Bobby got into big screaming argument. You can pull up just at the moment. You guys should go listen to the episode today.
I heard Soder and Joe were just shivering chihuahuas in the corner. Just yeah. Two animals were frothing from the mouth.
It got real. And here's the thing.
What was it over? Set it up.
It was over the girls in question that we were just one of the girls in question. We got into a whole fucking thing, and then Bobby was just playing devil's advocate too much with me. He was just like, instead of fucking just
Bobby's actually a devil dog advocate.
Here's the thing. Everyone agrees with me. Everyone behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, there's not a single person. Who did not agree with me about that situation. Nobody online came to me and said, hey, you know, that's kind of fucked up. Like, literally everyone, oh, those girls were being assholes. I'll tell you about it later, Mike. Okay, I went over it last week on the show.
Right.
And Bobby, for the sake of just fucking with me, had to just keep on playing devil's advocate. So you could put, do you have the moment, Shannon? You're finding it?
Yeah, you too, you're funny.
Yeah, let me see a threat.
I mean, look, dude. I mean,
she's trying to get a dude removed from a fucking gig. The fact that everyone isn't going, yeah, fuck that girl, she should be out.
Well, we're listening to the story. But I, what I don't understand is the show is for fun, right?
Yeah, the show is
a TV show.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It's a
roast battle. Strange to me to be that upset about.
Well, here's the thing, though. Here, can I say one thing? If these guys are putting the money up to send people and it's out of their pocket, there's no committee that you should have to go through.
That's a real everybody gets a trophy kind of attitude.
Yeah, it's like, no, well, it's like, I think it is. Did you send any women?
No. They happen to be men. What do you want me to say?
Your roast battle Rushmore has to have every kind of comedy.
We didn't have gays, we didn't have blacks, we didn't have Puerto Ricans, because the best roast battlers that were available at the time were fucking white dudes.
Patriarchy.
I'm not.
It's a joke, patriarchy.
I'm a fucking Puerto Rican man. I don't look at people's race and go, oh, I'm giving only white guys opportunities. Right. I would love if a Puerto Rican would be a good roast battler. They're horrific at writing jokes. What am I supposed to say?
That's very self-aware.
Show me this great Puerto Rican joke writer out there. I'm like, oh, that guy, he's fucking.
John Leguizamo. God damn it, I almost thought.
No, I think that if, look.
I think this is after.
You guys are paying for this.
You might have to go back,
Shannon.
Go like 56
minutes. It's your idea.
It's coming out. Oh, you watch this? Yeah. Shannon watched it and masturbated to it. Me getting yelled at. Here, I get up at one point, so you'll know that, Shannon, if you just watch it for a second.
He looks mad there.
Let's see.
Is that what gets you off, Shannon? Lewis getting yelled at?
Oh, she loves it. She loves it.
That's why she couldn't peel the picture off. Her fingers are tired.
Yeah. Yeah, no. He
look like raisins.
I think it's around the 55, 56 minute mark, Shannon. Yeah, it was real. Me and Bobby had a moment where we got real. Here's what happened, okay? He told me to shut the fuck up on the show. Here's what happens. Me and Bobby are both fucking like gorilla alphas, and it is what it is, right? So he told me to shut the fuck up because I talked over him, and you see it on my face. I'm like, Ape, no, tell Ape to shut the fuck up. You just see, like, just a fucking gorilla in me, just like, you know. So funny when you deal with, like, alpha males. We really, it's a primal thing. Like, you just see it. It's kind of like the way you walk, like, you know. And Bobby's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So he tells me to shut the fuck up. And I'm already kind of, like, hurt about that and just kind of like. And then we start talking about the moment again. And then we get into it. And I'm like, I call them dickheads. And he's like, they're not dickheads, dude. And I'm like, nah, they're dickheads. He's like, they're not dickheads. And I'm like, no, but they're dickheads. He's like, they're not dickheads. And I'm like, no, they're dickheads. I'm not dickheads. We did it fucking, we blew the fuck. It just turned into like screaming at each other. Uh-huh. And then within a minute, it was diffused and we were laughing again. But it's like, you know, in that moment, you get Look, we're funny. It's our job to be funny at all times, right? Yeah. But we're also dudes. We're also like, you have a moment where, you know, we just watched this happen on, it's fine, Jay. You don't have to find it. It's okay. They can go watch the YKWD podcast. It's out today. But did you see the video of Ari Spears getting punched in the head?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
You know, it's like, look, I don't know exactly what, I don't know why.
Something that was building, but I think when it got real, it got fucking.
Do people hate Ari Spears?
Yeah,
why do they hate him?
He's a notorious cocksucker to openers on the road and staff. Like, he's just extremely rude to everybody. He refuses to allow dark-skinned black comedians to open for him. J.L. Colvin actually had a whole blog post about it, but he, like, needs a light-skinned person to open for him just so he...
We kept on calling the other guy a light-skinned nigga.
Exactly.
Light-skinned nigga.
Yeah, which is
that an insult? I feel like that's a compliment.
Well, I think...
Yo, this nigga skin is golden brown. Thank you.
I think it's like from the times where that was like a pass. Like, you almost passed for being light-skinned. So now there's some like interracial
squabbles. I always thought the darker, the worse. The darker the berry, the worse the person. Just in terms of like, I'm not saying that dark skinned people are worse people.
That's exactly what I said.
Never mind. I'm just saying like light skinned niggas are more racist toward black skinned niggas.
But I think they were just disagreeing about something, and then that became the focus. It's like, well, that's because you're light skinned.
Pull up the Ari Spears getting punched in the head.
And he was drunk.
Ari Spears.
Yeah.
So yeah, it turned into a thing. Now here's the thing, right? At one point, you know, the microphones disappear. At one point, you're just two dudes sitting there.
Yeah.
You're too. Yeah,
especially if the guy's really dark, you can't really tell the difference.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the truth. You're just two guys sitting there at one point.
It's like an FBI informant.
But if you get into an argument with anybody over comedy, it's like who has the better comebacks, who has the better quips. Yeah, but after it gets past a certain point, it just becomes like, all right, I don't know what happens now.
Yeah,
like, what happens now?
Well, that's why I got up and left. People are giving me shit like, you're like, oh, yeah, real fucking tough. Because that's what I said to Bobby. He's like, why are you fucking leaving? I was like, oh, I'm leaving.
What are you doing, you light-skinned nigga?
This nigga's light-skinned.
You know what, nigga?
But I literally, I said, I was like, dude, I had to leave so I didn't punch you in your fucking head. I'm like, dude, you're going to get violent? I was like, Bobby, you've hit me with bottles. Stop acting like you're not a guy. You're the same dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I got up because I was so angry that I was like, I can't sit next to my friend because I want to fucking hit him in his fat head right now, right?
And did you leave the podcast?
I got up and left, and then I sat back like 30 seconds.
Didn't Bobby almost fight a homeless guy the day his son was born?
Psycho. Bobby's a psycho. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying, but like you remove yourself from that situation because you're screaming at a friend over something so silly. Mm. That's the funny part. It's like we all agreed. Everyone was in agreement. You know what I'm saying? But it just became this thing where it's like the other problem is I can never bring serious topics to those shows because it's always funnier to just kind of make fun of me and make me the butt of the joke.
Right, right, right.
So I'm trying to like get a serious point across, right, and then I got fucking Joe quipping and Dan and fucking Bobby. And I'm saying that
everybody's
like,
punching up your heartfelt, your hurt, your real emotional
my
pain.
Real
everybody's
fucking,
punching it up.
And I just want my friends to embrace me and be on my side, and they're all just fucking pretending that this bitch has a point. And I'm like, nobody agrees. Everyone, the microphones will go off and everyone's going, oh yeah, you're 100% right. Let's go have some fucking beers and fucking hang out. But then the mics are on and they're going, like, Lewis, well, you are a little bit aggressive. I'm like, you motherfuckers. Shannon, got to pull up the...
I have the Ari Spears, but I also have the part where you walk off.
Okay, so we'll pull them both. We'll end the show with this. This is Ari Spears getting punched in the head.
Which means I'll fuck you. Okay, Lord, this
he didn't really catch him. It was a bad punch.
No, he missed him a lot.
Wow. But he throws. He just sits there and throws then.
Yeah, so, and then Ari Spears just starts covering up and he starts just fucking hitting him. I don't think it's real, I gotta be honest with you. I'll tell you why. I truly think that this is an act. I think they saw what me and Bobby did and then they were like, they're like, dude, this is gonna get us some clicks.
We gotta get in on that.
Yeah, because look at the way he hits him, dude. He throws an uppercut and he literally grazes him with his forearm. Very strange. You know, and then he starts, Ari Spears is covered up, right? He's throwing these glancing shots and aren't hitting him. How are you not hitting a guy that's sitting down right in front of you?
Yeah.
Not a single shot. Not a single shot hits him.
Poor form.
Well, it's he guards both his ears, so he's hitting him, like, from the sides. I don't know. He's got the table, like, in front of him, so he can't, like...
Light-skinned niggas can't fight.
He's trying to, like, I don't know. It's hard to punch.
I mean, I'm being honest with you. He wasn't hitting him. If I stood up right now, okay, and I started punching Zach in the head,
right,
I'd hit him. If he's just doing this.
He was doing this to cover his ears. To hit him in the face, you would have to like kind of like, you would have to swing him around. You have to swing
him
around to punch him
right
in the face.
Let's say, cover your face, okay? He was literally going like this.
He was glancing.
And it seemed on par. I've seen real fights before. I cover fights for a living.
Wouldn't you have wrapped him up and thrown him on the ground for a second?
You have to swing him. You have to swing him that way.
I'd grab him by the back of his dumb fucking Hulk Hogan hair. I'd smash his fucking head into the ground. I'd start stomping him in the face. If you want to hurt somebody, you're going to hurt somebody, especially a black person. These people are equipped to hurt, okay? It's like, you know, what do you want me to say here? They know how to fight naturally. It's a compliment. Once again, Mike, stop looking at me like I'm saying something bad. These are fucking, they're warriors. What do you want me to say? If I'm going to war, I'm bringing some blacks. You don't got to train him.
Ari Spears doesn't have the same hair as Zach, but he does have a very grabbable fat fold on the back of his head.
Zach's hair hurts him. Now you take him by his shoulder and spin him.
Yeah. Over and over until he gets dizzy. And then
But, I mean, Ari's looking like he was covering up to be like, I'm not going to hit this guy. I'm going to let him just... So that,
that
if there's
a
lawsuit, I don't know if this guy's any
money. He talked a lot of shit before that, though. He was like, I'm drunk, so that means I'll fuck you up even more. I've never been a better fighter when I've been drunk. Never.
Yeah.
I've thought I was, but then I had
to. So that one time when you were juiced out of your gills and you fucked your dad up with a Superman punch.
Damn right. No, I was as sharp as possible. I was completely sober.
All right, pull up the me walking out on Bobby now.
To know you is to love you. You're a not you.
Oh.
Everybody loves
this
you.
Pause for a second. But Bobby had already told me shut the fuck up 30 seconds previous. Because you got to understand, like, right now, I'm like, I'm just sitting there, like, there's thousands of people watching this, and Bobby tells you to shut the fuck up, right?
Yeah.
So now I'm ready, just kind of seething, right? I'm ready, pissed, and we start getting back into it. So go.
Lewis, is it you're a cunt? You're a pain in the ass. You're aggressive. Yeah. You're fucking. It's your way. I mean.
No, so I create things because nobody's giving me an opportunity.
There's
I
more.
Create,
there's more. There's
I
more.
I create opportunities
you
for myself.
You just
I don't
fucking,
let. Hold on. I don't
let
people. Let
me just finish my fucking thought. Shut the fuck up for once.
This is where
just
it is.
Yap. I'm trying to compliment
Bobby,
you, fuck.
Really? It doesn't fucking sound like it, fuckface
I
asshole.
I am. I was trying to be funny. You're sitting here at the beginning. Can we be funny? Why is it so serious? I was trying to set up a fucking joke, and you step on
we're
it
watching
with
Don
your fucking
Rickles
stupid
bits.
Speeches. Fucking idiot. I'm saying that you're a fucking aggressive asshole like me, and sometimes people don't get that because of where you come from. You got a big heart.
So angry.
You're a fucking sweet guy. You care about a lot of people, and you do a lot of things for a lot of assholes.
Right.
That don't give it, that you don't get back.
Right.
Okay.
These two
and
specific
these,
fucking
well,
dickheads.
That, well, fuck, they're not dickheads.
Yes, they are.
What they are is that they're fucking different than you.
They're dickheads.
Buddy, I'm
they
telling
tried
you.
To fucking remove a comic from a fucking gig. They went above my head to try to remove another comic from
there it
a
is.
Gig.
There it is.
Yeah,
that is.
Is,
there it is. Because
I'm talking to
there
fucking
it is.
Right now.
There
okay.
it is. There
okay?
it is. There it is. Put your headphones on, stupid. Stop
okay?
taking your headphones off like you're a
fucking
comment head.
They're
not
dickheads.
They're fucking dickheads. They're not dickheads.
They are dickheads.
They're not dickheads.
Over your head, not above your head.
Yes.
I don't know if that's
second. No, they're not dickheads.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not dickheads.
Defend your fucking jerk off fucking idiot friend. I could give a fuck less.
It's not a fucking.
Defend her.
I am not
sickening.
I'm not defending her, you fucking idiot. I'm saying what she. What are you leaving?
I'm fucking leaving.
You're a fucking
why are you leaving?
Pussy.
Why
are you're
leaving?
A fucking
why
pussy.
Why are you leaving?
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Why are you, guys, why are you leaving?
Why would you leave? Are you? Are you kidding me?
I'm taking my shoulder back.
Are you kidding me? Are you fucking kidding me?
Someone hand me my purse.
Are you fucking? You don't even let me finish the fucking point. Sit down.
Lauren's getting so nervous she's playing.
Sit down and let me finish the point. Stop being a fucking baby.
No, I'm not being a fucking baby.
You are being a fucking baby. Sit down. Sit the fuck down. Sit down and shut the fuck up. Take your bag off. Put your headphones on.
When I'm pissed off about something, and then I'm literally saying these girls are doing something that's legitimately fucking wrong, and then I call her a dickhead, and you tell me to shut the fuck up, and she's not a dickhead.
Because I'm in the middle of fucking saying something, and you cut me the fuck off.
Welcome to YKWD, Bobby.
Welcome to you. Shut the fuck up, then. My fucking show. Don't fucking leave. Shut the. Are you fucking being a baby?
No, you're
are you
being
really
a
being
baby.
A fucking pussy?
Fuck
are you
afraid.
Really being a
I'm
fucking
shredded.
Pussy?
You're, being
you're gonna
a
put your
pussy.
Bag on and walk
yes,
out?
Yes, Bobby.
Why?
Yes. If I'm
why?
Being told to shut the fuck up.
Why?
And I'm being told that I'm wrong in a scenario.
Why?
When you know I'm right.
Why?
You know I'm 100% right.
When somebody. When somebody. Fuck. When somebody. When somebody. I already said you're.
Holy shit.
I'm sweating. So
wow.
Much.
Got heated.
Oh, my God, dude.
Go check out the show.
That went down.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
really went down.
It's look, here's the thing. I won't.
Now, at what point in that fight did Gnome walk up and destroy the rest of the episode?
Oh, shit. Go watch the episode. We make up. We do. It. It's so funny. Toward the end, Dan makes a joke, and I go to kick him. And I literally fell out of my chair and nearly broke my tailbone. It's one of the funniest things ever. Look, sometimes these shows get fucking heated. And, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, this is what happens. The point actually I was trying to make even there, like without getting it rehashing the shit from last week, because I don't care anymore. We've all moved past it. But it's like, yeah, I don't know, man. People have different personality types. Some people are aggressive. Bobby Kelly's an aggressive dude. I'm an aggressive dude. If you piss me off or him off, you're going to deal with a person who seems angry. They're going to seem pissed off. And that's completely valid. That's okay. Being pissed off or having being aggressive with somebody, having a conversation where that person is aware that you're not happy, that's not really a fucking problem. In what world do we have to tiptoe around people?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, it's
yeah.
special treatment. And this is you're talking about comedy being a blue collar sport. It's like nobody. Yamanika didn't get that special, like, let me handle her with kids gloves treatment.
Yeah.
She wasn't treated like a woman. She was treated like any other fucking dude.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She had to fight and grind and claw and still isn't working every club. Yamanika probably kills harder than any female comic that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She kills. She fucking kills, slays. Yeah. This bitch fucking slays. She's not in the cellar. She's not I don't think she's ever auditioned to be in the Comedy Cellar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's so much other shit that goes into it. And is she ever going like, oh, it's because I'm a woman? Is it because I'm fucking black? No. She's going, no, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to hustle and I'm going to grind and I'm going to make my own shit.
Yeah.
And it's the right attitude. And she's the biggest, blackest woman there is.
Right.
There's nobody that's more of a black woman than Yamanika.
Well, there was, but she died.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. Mike Cannon. Mike Cannon. Kick while the person's down.
Oh, shit. All right, we got to fucking go. We got to wrap it up here. This is a great show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you.
I am Mike Cannon, Comic Mike V on Twitter. Make sure you follow these guys. Come out and check out their shows as well. See you guys in a couple weeks in L.A. Excited about that?
Yeah.
Check out all the other shows on the Gas Digital Network. Obviously, my show is The Legion of Skanks. Part of the problem, Shannon, pull it off the fucking wall. Pull it off the wall. Now. All right. We'll check you guys on Wednesday. Peace.
That's all, folks.